The Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 95, which is on page 482 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the God our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
Thanks, Margaret. A few months ago, I watched through the first season of the TV show Clarkson's Farm. Has anyone seen that? I know there's a few people who've seen it here. Some of you will be very familiar with the show already, but basically it follows Jeremy Clarkson in his first year of trying to run his farm in Chipping Norton in England. Jeremy Clarkson is not a farmer. He's a television presenter famous for reviewing cars on Top Gear. But as it turns out, watching a non-farmer trying to farm is actually very entertaining. And one of the most entertaining moments in the first season was when Jeremy decided to buy a small flock of sheep. As soon as these sheep arrived on his farm, they became the bane of Jeremy's existence. They jumped over walls and fences, they ran out onto the road, and they kept escaping, and no amount of shouting or waving sticks could get the sheep to move in the direction that Jeremy wanted them to move in. Just getting them from paddock to paddock became almost impossible. And watching the show, you could see his frustration at these sheep who did not want to be led. Why wouldn't they just do what he told them to do? Rather than walk along the road, they would jump over the stone walls either side of it. Rather than go through a gate, they would turn around and go back the way that they'd come. And even as they were being moved from an empty paddock to one with fresh green grass, they still would not follow the voice of their shepherd, Jeremy. And watching all this unfold was entertaining, but it was also kind of painful. Jeremy only wanted to care for his sheep. Everything he did was for their good. Yet these sheep did not trust him. They did not follow him. And most of the time, they just ignored his voice altogether. Jeremy ended his shepherding days a little bit heartbroken. His sheep didn't want to know him. Psalm 95 sits in the middle of a collection of seven psalms which focus on God as the king and the ruler of all. In the ancient world, when these psalms were written, the king was also often referred to as the shepherd of his people. And Psalm 95 grabs onto this image of God as not just a powerful king, but also as a caring shepherd. This psalm is a song about a shepherd and his sheep, about our God and us, his people. But just as Jeremy Clarkson discovered with his sheep, this psalm is honest about the fact that sometimes sheep refuse to be led. Sometimes they stop listening and stop trusting the voice of their shepherd. Rather than walk through the gate, they turn back and go back. They turn around and go back the way that they came. So this is a psalm which challenges us as God's people with one question. Will we follow the voice of our shepherd today? In this moment, are we listening to our shepherd's voice? This is a funny time of the year, the week between Christmas and New Year's. It's a bit of a limbo land between the old year and the new. No one really knows what day it is, although you all made it church today, which is great. But most people are on holidays. And many of us will have the chance to reflect on the year that has been and to think about the year to come. All of us will have hopes and expectations and plans for what next year brings. And so today is the perfect day for this psalm. Psalm 95 asks us to do a spiritual check-in. How are we going in our relationship with God, our shepherd? Are we listening to his voice? Are we following him? It's the perfect psalm for the turning of a new year. So before we begin looking at Psalm 95 together, let's ask God and his Spirit to be with us and to show us what he would have us hear. So let's pray. Please pray with me. Our good God and our shepherd, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this psalm that has been sung by generations and generations of your people. We thank you, Father, for this chance to sit and to hear from you as we sit between the old and the new. And we pray, Lord, that you might speak to each and every one of us here today, that we might hear your voice and that we might have the chance to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the psalm begins by telling us to come and sing for joy to the Lord. But not just sing. Verse 1 tells us to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Like many psalms, this one was probably written to be sung by God's people on a festival day, at a gathering actually much like this one. And that's why verses 1 and 2 of the psalm begin with these full encouragements to praise God. So read verse 1 and 2 again with me. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Why does God deserve such over-the-top praise? Well, have a glance at verse 3. Because he is the great God. Not just a God, but the great God. The great King above all others. Our God is not a fantasy or just a made-up religious placebo. He's not just one of many spiritual options. The God of the Bible is the one and only God, supreme in every way. And he reigns supreme as king over everything. If you have a Bible in front of you, look at verses 4 to 5 again. From the depths of the earth to the mountain peaks, this world belongs to him. Even something as vast as the ocean was made effortlessly by his hands. This psalm is telling us that the world has one king who sits above all powers and authorities, and it is the God who created it. And this king invites us to come into his presence. So we should come with thanksgiving and with joy and with praise. But when God invites us to come into his presence, he doesn't do it as some aloof royal who sits on his throne and watches the people grovel at his feet. God's invitation to us is far more personal. He makes a habit of standing up from his throne and walking down to us to take us by the hand. Let's read verses 6 and 7 again. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Did you notice how these verses have shifted from talking about God in the third person to talking about us? He is our God. We are the people of his pasture. This God who is supreme and all-powerful and not at all like us is also close and relational, and he wants to be with us. These verses remind us that God not only made this world we live in, but he also made for himself a people to be his. He made a flock to care for, to lead and to guide. This psalm was first written to be sung by the people of Israel thousands of years ago. And when God chose Israel to be his people, this is what he said to them in Exodus chapter 6. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. God made this promise first to the people of Israel, and now through Jesus, God has made this promise to us. He has made a new people, a new flock, the church. And verse 7 is true of us today. We can call this great God and almighty King our God, not because he belongs to us, but because we belong to him. He has chosen us, he has saved us, he has made us into a people, and he has promised never to leave us. But like a shepherd, he has promised to guide us, to provide for us, and to protect us. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Can you hear the invitation? God not only invites us into his presence, he not only invites us to approach his throne, but he also invites us into relationship. This is an invitation to be his and to belong to him. And there are two ways that we can respond to this invitation. The first is in verse 6. Let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. To kneel before God, our shepherd, is to trust in his care and his guidance. It means submitting to his leadership and committing to following where he leads. This requires putting aside our own agendas and what we think is right. It means listening and obeying. That's the first way we can respond. But the second way is actually given to us through a story in the second part of the psalm. So let's read on from the end of verse 7. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So far, this has been such a positive psalm, but now we have a sudden shift in tone. The years spent in the wilderness were not Israel's finest moments. This story that this psalm is retelling was first recorded in the books of Exodus and Numbers. And they tell us how God heard the cries of the Israelites in Egypt as they suffered in slavery. So God came to their rescue by striking the Egyptians down and saving Israel from under their hands. And then God promised to lead Israel back to the land of Canaan, which he had given to their ancestors centuries before. And God promised that once they arrived in the land, he would give them safety and prosperity. He himself would live among them. Yet just days into their journey back to Canaan, the Israelites began to doubt and to grumble and to test God. What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children die of thirst? What are you doing, God? We don't trust that you have a plan for us at all. In those years in the wilderness, God provided water from a rock. He provided manna and quail from the heavens for them to eat. He gave them safe passage through enemy lands. He led them by day and by night. And yet we read in the book of Numbers that the doubts and the grumbling never stopped for 40 years. So why does Psalm 95 repeat this story for us? Well, Israel's years in the wilderness are an example of sheep who did not trust their shepherd. The Israelites had experienced God's salvation firsthand. They'd seen him perform wonders and miracles in Egypt. They had walked through the Red Sea, out from slavery and into freedom. Yet by day 3 of walking through towards Canaan, they began to doubt whether God would continue to provide for them. They stopped believing that he truly cared about their needs. They were consumed by the fear of dying in the wilderness. They couldn't handle walking towards an unknown destination. And God's presence was not enough for them. They looked around for something or someone else which could give them what they needed instead. Israel in the wilderness failed to trust their shepherd. Their hearts were hardened by fear and doubt. And just like Jeremy Clarkson's sheep in the show, they kept wanting to turn around and go back the way they came, back to slavery in Egypt. Why is this story here? Why remind us of this old tale of Israel's failure? Well, remember, Psalm 95 begins with an invitation to come into the presence of the great king, to come into relationship with our God, the shepherd of his people. And then it gives us two ways that we can respond to this invitation. Either we kneel before our shepherd in trust and obedience, or we harden our hearts and ignore his voice like the Israelites did in the wilderness. Israel's failings are a warning for us not to take the second option. In this final part of the psalm, it's actually God who speaks to his people. It's God's voice speaking. This is the great shepherd speaking to his sheep. Look at verse 8 again. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. God himself is urging us here. Don't harden your hearts. Don't turn away from me. Don't do what they did in the wilderness and miss out on everything that I long to give you. The great tragedy of the generation who died in the wilderness was that they wanted everything that God could give them, but they did not want God. They were with him as long as he provided food and water and kept them safe, but as soon as those things were threatened, they turned against him. We might read the last few verses of Psalm 95 and be shocked at God's anger and judgment upon them. But this is not the story of a vindictive God out to punish his people. This is the bitter disappointment of a shepherd whose sheep have rejected him. Just like Jeremy Clarkson went half mad at the stupidity of his sheep jumping over walls and out onto the road, here we have a shepherd whose sheep keep trying to run from him. And he is heartbroken. God never allowed the wilderness generation to make it to Canaan. They wandered for 40 years. They never got to experience the rest that he promised them. That is because what God promised them most of all was a life of perfect peace and harmony with him in Canaan. It was never about the land or the lifestyle or the blessings. It was always about reaching a place where God and his people could live together, back in perfect relationship forever. When the Israelites rejected God in the wilderness, they also rejected the life that God was promising them. So here God warns us by their example, don't harden your hearts. Don't turn away from me. Don't do what they did in the wilderness and miss out on everything I long to give you. And listen again to the end of verse 7. Today, if only you would hear his voice. This psalm leaves us with that one question. Will you follow the voice of your shepherd today? In this moment, are you trusting your shepherd? We've just spent the last few weeks celebrating Christmas, haven't we? Just 3 days ago, here in this very building, we gathered and we sang carols about God's greatness, and we spoke about this Jesus who was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But now Christmas is over, and very soon we'll pack up our Christmas decorations and put them away for another year. Our thoughts will turn to New Year's Eve, and all our hopes and plans for the years to come. We'll start thinking about 2026. And I know that for many of us right now, all we want to do is switch off, to go away on holidays maybe, or have a few quiet days and not think or do anything for a little while. Many of us actually really need a break from our usual routines, and this time is our only real chance to do that. But when you pack away the Christmas decorations, don't pack away Jesus with them. When you lock the front door to head off on holidays or head away for the weekend, don't leave your faith at the doorstep too. Remember Psalm 95. Today, if only you would hear his voice. At Christmas, we heard again that good, good news that Jesus came down from heaven in the form of a man to be with us. God in human form, our shepherd in the shape of a person. Jesus is the great God, the King above all kings. He is our shepherd, and we are the flock under his care. In Jesus, we find salvation and we find rest for our souls. And Jesus has promised to care for us, to guide us, and to protect us always. If we believe the good news of Christmas really is true, then we can't pack it away with the Christmas decorations. If Jesus really is the great shepherd of our lives, then we must listen to his voice and follow him. So let me ask you again, will you follow the voice of your shepherd today? As you think about next year, I don't know if you've had the chance to do that yet, but as you think about next year, what is top of mind for you? I know that for me, my first thought is always, oh, where am I going on holidays this year? But for some of us, we'll be thinking about maybe the kids' schooling. We'll be thinking about what's happening at work or projects we want to get done at home maybe. And we're probably working out finances and calendars, and we might even be thinking about what our involvement here at church looks like too. But as we move into the new year, can I encourage you to make time to do the more important thing? And I say this to myself as well. Take a moment, sometime in the next week or so, to sit quietly and to listen to the voice of your shepherd, Jesus. I know this is a strangely specific request, and most sermons don't usually come with homework, but it's so easy to get caught up in the logistics of our lives that we forget that we have a great shepherd who really wants to guide and provide for us. That's what he longs to do. And even as we plan our calendars for 2026 and the nitty-gritty of finances and holidays and calendars, he wants to guide us and care for us. He wants to be involved in every part of our lives. So take a moment, sometime soon, find a quiet place if you can. I know that's tricky with kids and with other people around. And listen to the voice of your shepherd, Jesus. Spend some time praying, a long period of prayer if you can, and ask Jesus to guide you next year to the things that he wants you to do, or maybe to show you the things he wants you not to do. If there's anything that you're anxious about, ask him to provide for your needs. Take those anxieties to him and ask him to answer them for you. If you're scared, ask for his protection and his peace. If you're weary or feeling crushed in spirit, ask him for comfort and strength. And then open up to one of the Gospels, to some of Jesus' words, and spend some time listening to them. Read them a couple of times if you can, and listen. Who is he asking you to be? What is he asking you to do? How might he want you to change? And let me read to you some of Jesus' words in John chapter 10. This is what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Following this kind of shepherd is not a burden. Following Jesus is not a burden. Jesus cares for his flock so dearly that he gave his very life for us. You are safe in your shepherd's care. So come to him, kneel before him, hear his voice, and follow him. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, our great shepherd, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the rock of our salvation, that we can depend on you like we can depend on no other. We thank you so much that you have sent your Son to us to lead us and to guide us, to give his very life for us. And so, Father, we ask that as we step into next year, as we enjoy this time of rest, we ask that you might help us to come to you. We ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would continue to guide and to care for us. We long to be led by you, Father, and so we ask that you would help us to do this, that you give us soft hearts that are willing to hear your voice and to respond and to follow. And we pray this for us individually, Father, but we also pray this for us as your people, the church, that we'd be a flock who knows our shepherd deeply, who knows his voice, and who delights in following in him. And we do pray this in our shepherd's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.